enough to offer to give this presentation with her very fine pictures. So, Deanna, you've got the floor.
Well, good evening, or good afternoon, everybody. I have to say I'm really nervous. I've never done something like this before. But as Sister Mary said, well, we're all friends.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So what I wanted to do is give a little bit of an introduction about myself, and just sort of how I came to Orthodoxy, because I have not one drop of Russian blood in me. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I come from, and I'll date myself, I'm 63. And in the 1960s, when I was in Catholic school, I used to be a little bit delinquent and leave school early and walk around the Richmond district of San Francisco. And at this time, there were a lot of Russian churches. And one day I saw a little sign saying, we need a volunteer to help our grandmas learn English. Now, in the 60s, this was sort of risky in the sense of I had no idea what the Soviet Union meant or what this dangerous country was, other than that once a month we got under our tables at school. They, you know, hit the sirens and we thought, oh no, what's this mean? But so I met with these little ladies who was a wonderful experience because I grew up in the Sunset District of San Francisco and it was all sort of the same. There was nobody different than the middle class Caucasian families. So this sort of journey, as I think of it, because I, Mother Melania and I shared emails back and forth several times before she helped me with a title. And I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to call this? And so it became sort of an American pilgrim. And so as I was, you know, trying to think about what a pilgrim is, you know, it's somebody who journeys to a far distance place, maybe not even that far. And so I thought, well, then let me go way back to when my beginnings of becoming Orthodox began and sort of just share with you pictures that I've taken in Russia, not just the monasteries that Mother Serafima mentioned, but some others, and kind of hope that everything that I've been blessed with for, now this goes back 45 years, and I'll tell you about this picture in a second. I think if everybody has the handout, they will see on this handout a little tiny reproduction of a picture that was taken in 1968.
Oh, this is you,
and that's me in the middle.
Great.
Looking a little bit, you know, long hair and short skirts, so it was the hippie days. That's what I was. But I had traveled to New York, and, well, let me step back one second. In San Francisco, at the time, in the early 60s, was St. John of San Francisco. He was the Archbishop of San Francisco, and Mother Serafima and I actually have some very distant ties in that we may not have known each other closely at the time, but we studied Russian at San Francisco State College. And so we did know each other way back in that other life.
Ma'am? She has a little problem with hearing. Is there a
you can
talk a little louder.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes it's loud and then sometimes it's
soft. Okay. Let Ilana see if she can. I'm not used to having something like that on. Is that okay?
Yeah. Okay. We can hear you, but
that's better.
Okay, great. Yeah, just interrupt me anytime, even if you have a little question about something. And so the very first impressions and going to church started in 64. So I was a freshman in high school. I had made a list of churches, and I decided on the first one was St. Nicholas Moscow Patriarchal Church. And I picked that mainly because it was the closest to home. It was on a streetcar line, and I figured if my mother, who was, you know, probably very anti-Soviet Union, anti-Russian, anti a lot of things, not to criticize her, but, you know, I stepped out of the mold of being, you know, a Catholic school girl going to, you know, all the services there, and one Sunday went to this church. I had such an incredible experience of meeting the pastor. pastor of the church was a monk from Valong Monastery. He also, for anybody that knows the history of the Santa Rosa Church, and I think he probably served here also, was that he, Father Dimitri was in Santa Rosa. And when I got my driver's license, there was very often journeys out to Point Reyes where they had their little St. Eugene's Hermitage skeet. So that was my very first involvement with the Orthodox. And when I started to go to church, I was, you know, fell in love with it. I can't say anything other than it was a very emotional experience and very moving. And it was also at the time when the Catholic Church was going to guitar masses and no more Latin. And so probably part of it was there was this unique opportunity to hear Slavonic. And so I began, you know, kind of, you know, being immersed in this. And in 68, I went to New York. And this small picture here is 1968. And I met there, the priest here is Father Matthew. And he had been in New York. Oh, okay, put that down. This thing is. Put it in my pocket. I get nervous with technical kinds of things, but anyways. So I went to New York and I met him there. He was assigned to the Patriarchal Church, and he invited me to come to Russia and visit. He also was involved here with meetings with St. John of San Francisco, then Archbishop, about the reunification of the two churches. And so that goes way, way back to the 1967, 68 time. And so this picture was actually taken in 2010. In 2000, or well, okay, no, 1970, I went to Russia five times over the course of the next 6 or 7 years. And this was the Soviet Union. I don't have any pictures from that. Those were the days of slides. And I met each time with Father Matthew, who has now become the pastor and in charge of the what they refer to as Yelochovsky Cathedral. It's the cathedral of...
Yelochovsky.
It's the Yelochovsky. I'm trying to think of the real name. But often churches in Russia, they're referred to as the name of the street where they are, or sometimes the neighborhood where they are. But anyways, this church was, until Christ the Savior Church Cathedral was built, was where the patriarch served. And he, Father Matthew, was from a very small village in the Ukraine, and he made his way to Moscow, went through the seminary, went through the Moscow Theological Academy, and then became secretary to many of the patriarchs. So I can't list which ones, but 3 or 4 of them, he was the secretary. He's just now 87 years old, and on the verge of being retired. But I don't think that Russian priests retire. He is still serving, and you'll see a couple pictures of him. And so what I want to do is I want to just show you, you know, the pictures of his church. And what I've done is, you know, I'll put a little introduction before each set of pictures. His church is, let's see, did I lose it? Sorry. His church was built in 1853, and this is his church. It's pretty much central Moscow. Took about 16 years to build, and it never closed during the Soviet times. So during the Soviet times, there was probably 35 to 40 churches open in Moscow that never closed. Now they're... This is Yelochovsky. Yelochovsky.
I was married there for some time.
So here's a wonderful connection. And so this is the main entrance to the church. And this is the main iconostasis. This is very typical of that period of time, the 1800s architecture. And this is a patriarchal cathedral, so this is much more elaborate than some of the others you'll see. This is a Sunday morning. People just starting to come and light the candles. It's beautiful inside. This icon is something incredible. I usually stand where you can see the gentleman sort of to the right of it. That's their little sort of off near the altar. But I have to admit, when the services get very, very long, I sometimes let my mind count the number of Mother of God icons on this icon, because this has all the Mother of God icons in all of Russia. So all those different apparitions and miracles that happened are in this icon. And this is looking into the altar. No matter which Sunday you go there, there are bishops and archbishops and metropolitans that come. This is a Father Michael who has become a very close, not, I wouldn't say friend, because there's a big distance between San Francisco and Moscow, but at any of the banquets, we would sit next to each other and he'd make sure I got plenty of food to eat. And this is just a one of the services, and then this was a different service where there was green. But you can see that, you know, Father Matthew, over these all these years, he's now 87 years old. There was a big celebration 2 years ago for his 85th birthday. But he still serves, and his mind is as sharp as anything. And so I've heard that behind in the altar, of course, which I would not see, he commands highest respect and doesn't miss a thing. So if anybody is slightly out of place, they'll know about it after the service. Now I want to move to, I've been very fortunate, and why I think of often, you know, travels and being a pilgrim. A lot of the times I'm maybe just a tourist, and other times I've been very fortunate to have met wonderful people who are Orthodox. I mean, I would say most of my friends, with a couple of exceptions, I've met through the church. Some sort of thread that led from here, from somebody that knew somebody, or from especially from Father Matthew, for all these years. This is the Church of the Door Mission, and this is kind of a rainy day. Now once you venture past this very sweet dog who will bark but not bite, inside, this is Father Gennady, and he's been a wonderful sort of friend, person, priest, not person, priest. Little bit of communication with him. He has often said he'd like to come to San Francisco, but that may not happen. This is his church, and you can see this is very simple. This is a small parish church. They have the main altar and two side altars. This was built in 1695, so this is much earlier, but the inside was completely whitewashed during the Soviet times. It was actually closed in probably 1930, and was a museum of maritime and the Arctic Circle, which I find interesting, because then this time I did go to Solovki, and that's up towards the Arctic Circle. But in 94, the early 90s, 94 is when many of the churches were given back to the church. So very, very small restoration work done.
Yeah, I was wondering, the item on the other slide that you just showed, are those the original royal doors, or were they brought in from another?
No, none of this would have been, in fact, let me go back to that one. This is all completely redone. This would have been all completely dismantled during Soviet times. There were frescoes on the walls. I've seen some older pictures in black and white that had frescoes, but nothing remains.